You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
In the Bible, we have books in which people speak boldly of God and those in which people act boldly for God. Acting boldly is the kind of story we find in the little book of Esther. This book, with its 9+ chapters, is fascinating and troublesome. There is no mention of God. It reeks of sexism. It has plots to kill and attempted genocide. There is self-defense that seems to border on revenge. There are drunken feasts and feasts to celebrate. It's a story that can bother our modern sensibilities, despite its humor and its satire. So if there's no mention of God, and it's so troublesome, why is it included in the Bible? Well, we're not the first to ask. Its place in Hebrew scripture is as one of the 5 scrolls that are read on Jewish festival days. Esther is read on Purim, celebrated in February or March, recalling yet another story of the deliverance of the Jews. Children dress up in costumes, a scene we see on Halloween, or for Christmas pageants, or on Heifer Sunday. On Purim, baked gifts are traded with one another, and support is given to the poor. It sounds a little bit like Heifer Sunday around Covenant Church. Apparently for adults, though, it can get a bit more rowdy and is more like Mardi Gras. The Book of Esther is set in a Persian court of one we believe it was King Xerxes around 500 BCE, or perhaps earlier. It's a diaspora story, like the Book of Daniel. Jews were a people disenfranchised and were subject to the prejudices of others. The story begins with a lavish banquet, but Queen Vashti refuses to attend when the king sends for her, and she isn't seen or heard from again. So a new queen is needed. The king arranges for a beauty contest. I told you it would bother our modern sensibilities. He doesn't know that one of the contestants is a foreigner, a Jew, an orphan raised by her cousin Mordecai. It is Esther who wins the contest, Queen Esther. The story continues with intrigue. Mordecai discovers a plot to assassinate the king, and for his heroism, his name is recorded in the king's records. But a villain appears, Haman, who so impressed the king by his abilities that he's put over all the affairs of the court. But he's a proud and arrogant man, and he asks the king to enact an edict that all are required to bow down before him. But enter Mordecai, who refuses to bow to any human being. Haman gets the king then to issue another edict, this one irrevocable, that gives him the authority to get rid of Mordecai and all the Jews. Haman casts lots, called Pur, to set the date. But fortunately, it comes out as several months later. Thank goodness, so our story can continue. Esther is pleaded by Mordecai to get the king to change his mind. Talking to one another through servants, she lets Mordecai know that she's not so sure about this. She can't just go and approach the king without being invited. It's at risk of her life. And it's in that setting we then read these familiar words from the book of Esther. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." For just such a time as this. Esther responds with fasting for 3 days. She takes her time, but then she takes the risk. And when the king responds favorably, thank God, she invites him to a banquet, along with Haman. A first banquet that is simply a warm-up for what is to come. For afterwards, a worried Haman constructs gallows on which to hang Mordecai. But a sleepless king remembers that Mordecai is the one who saved him from assassination. At the second banquet, Esther asks that her people and that she be saved, that they be spared from the order to be killed. And she reveals the deceit of Haman. But the first edict was irrevocable. Esther asked then, can at least the Jews defend themselves? And they do, quite successfully, such that Haman is hung on the very gallows he constructed for another. The story ends with the command to hold the annual festival of Purim, celebrating the deliverance of the Jews and raising up Esther as a heroine of the Jewish faith. Now, Esther is the type of activist that is led more by the wisdom we find in Proverbs than by that of the prophets. She listens, she prepares, she uses her position of privilege. She approaches her life a step at a time, fully aware of the moment in which she lives, and uses what she has to face it. Her story is one that is told over and over again because ultimately it's a story of hope, a story to be remembered in ordinary times so we don't become complacent. A story that we tell in times such as this, in the midst of pain and suffering, of tears and travail, so we can dare hope even when there may be little reason to hope. The painting Hope by George Frederick Watts hangs in the Tate Gallery in London. It's made its way as being described in many a sermon, including one by the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright, given in front of congregant Barack Obama, and then described in his book, The Audacity of Hope. We see another harpist playing. Some say she's blindfolded. Some say she's injured. Either way, she isn't in great shape, and neither is her harp, with only a single string. She sits atop a world that has been described as sinking with sadness and desolation, plague, warfare, starvation. Maybe despair is a better title for the painting. And yet this harpist plays the single string. She uses what she has. Perhaps she hears more than a single note. Perhaps it's a chord, envisioning the world that can be, hearing possibilities for the future. Esther is a young woman who imagines a different world, a different future. She lived in a time that had great cruelty, a time that valued beauty more than brains. She was an orphan of a disenfranchised people who found herself in a place of privilege. She only says a few words, but that's all the words she needs. She uses what she has, knowing where she was, and responds to the summons for Mordecai and brings hope to her people. It is for just such a time as this. We all have something we can use. Maybe it's beauty or brains, a position of influence, a listening ear, wide open eyes, a mouth to open, a single string on a harp. God is summoning us to use what we have to bring hope. Our children are doing it, dressing up as animals and playing games, all while they're raising funds to see that the hungry are fed. We can produce signs of hope. A card written, a call made, a plate of cookies, a sign at a protest march, face masks sewn, contributions to the COVID special offering, small and large things, using what we have, putting ourselves out there, responding to the call of an unseen God who is at work within us. We take actions just for such a time as this, that we may offer hope for a new future. For moments come, like for Esther, when we are summoned to take risks, to challenge a world of excess and cruelty. God's name may not be evident in the call, but we can be sure that God is present as we step forward, as we assert leadership, as we care for the ill, feed the hungry, speak up for racial justice. We are witnesses using our wit and whatever else we have to offer God's hope. May we go forth with the dismissal benediction that has been written by Bill Coffin, and I would dare say is one that could have easily been said by Esther. May God give you the grace to never sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but the truth, and too small for anything but love. Just for a time such as this. Amen.